Welcome to this Friday show. We're going on a little early, but shake it up a little bit. But thank you for joining us.
The way to do it.
Exactly. Thank you for coming along the ride, So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and yes, thank you for listening, and you know, we appreciate the email. So like always, give us a call, 718-664-9098. We're talking sports, y'all. Shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website at rayandtaytoday.com. We're very interactive, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, Ray and Tay Today. That's where you find us. So, Ray, let them know, man, what we're talking about on this last Friday in the regular season of college hoops in March.
Yeah, we're going to get into a lot of March Madness this month. So we'll start talking about it today. But first we'll start with breaking news. We've got some a rain delay at Doral. We'll talk a little bit about that. We have a idiot fan rushing into the stand or rushing out of the stands onto the court in college. We've got the beginnings of free agency or the lead up to free agency in the NFL.
Tuesday,
we'll talk a bit about that. Then we'll talk about the NBA. We had a finals rematch last night. We'll get into that. And then we'll end the show talking NCAA March Madness, getting you ready. I can't wait. 2 weeks from yesterday is the beginning of March Madness, and a week from Sunday is Selection Sunday. Woo! Can't wait.
Selection Sunday. It gives me chills when you just when you say it. You know what I mean? It's we'll have to tweet out our boy Seth Greenberg and Jay Billis, who talked to us on Twitter, and maybe we can get Seth Davis back to join us. You know, he's doing big things out in L.A. now with CBS, and I saw Greg Gumbel came back, so I guess they're going to go back to the regular team, him and Doug Gottlieb. So, yeah, we'll get you ready. We'll get you ready no matter what.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time. We've got plenty of time. First, let's get into some breaking news. So,
tell me what's going on. I know El Tigre, you know, has to play like 26 holes today and started to play pretty good. He was, what, four over par or three over par? What's going on over at
four
down
over.
There in Florida,
he shot a 76. He started out, I think he went 10 holes yesterday. But he's won this tournament 7 times. So for him, terrible. You know, a plus 476 is really bad. So we'll see what Tiger shows up today for the rest of the day or for his second round. Right now, the leader's at minus 4. Francisco Molinari's through 7 is at minus 4. And then you got a whole crew, Duffner, Kuchar, Johnson, and Mahan, and English at minus 3. So they're just – a couple of them haven't teed off yet. And Duffner and Mahan are on 1 and on 3. So they've got a while to go. They just started their round, but yeah, Tiger. What? He's 8 strokes back of Molinari, so he's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, you know, and it looks like I saw his horrible shot. Henrik Stenson, how's he doing? Because him and Tiger and you know, the top 3 in the world, you know, started going off, you know, with each other, and they were in the group.
That was cool, actually, that they had them all.
Yeah, one, two, three.
They had them all tee off together. That actually is pretty fun.
And then what the second group within Rory and my man were in the group together too. You know, I like when they do that, and it's also, I guess, what you got the top 50 golfers there. That's kind of rare in terms of getting everybody all at one tournament. So
that is pretty cool, yeah, no doubt. So you've still got some guys that are in contention. potentially that are, you know, Rory's at minus two. He tees off at 12:50, so he's right around, you know, just about teeing off. And you've got a few others. So Bubba Watson is at minus one. You got a nice little crew, but interestingly enough, the threesome that they put together is really not doing that well. So the world's, you know, one, two, and three players are not doing that well. But that's all right. Let other people, you know, that's a great thing about sports, right? Let Francesco Molinari, you know, represent Italy. And Schwarzel represents South Africa. Why not? Why not?
That
and
happens.
Behind them, you got five Americans and two, you know, two Englishmen. But right now, it's international leaderboard.
Well, something else that I found pretty interesting, you know, talking about some breaking news, and we'll definitely get into things that are popping off in the NFL, but in the NBA, Stephen A. from ESPN, Stephen A. Smith, was reporting that, you know, Steve Mills from the Knicks went out to L.A. to meet with Phil Jackson, Bulls, Lakers coach Phil Jackson, ex-Knick player. And he doesn't seem to be too interested in being the next head coach. But it tells you, one, that, yes, Woody's definitely going to be gone after the season, which, you know, you don't really want that to leak out. Maybe they've already told him behind the scenes. But, you know, and I always talk to Ray about this, you know, off air, and I think Dolan didn't show up. And, you know, supposedly he wanted Dolan to be there. But can we trade owners? Because, I mean... I think the issue is, you know, we've heard about, you know, this week they've been talking about the anniversary and everything when Marge shot and she said all the, you know, negative racial slurs against, you know, blacks and Jews and all this and that. So she lost the franchise. And Dolan doesn't do that, right? But it's offensive, although we beat the Timberwolves the other night, it's offensive to see how he's running the organization. And, I mean, even for some Ranger fans, they traded Callahan away, you know, for an older veteran from, St. Louis from the Lightning, you know, and, you know, people are really upset about getting rid of a 28-year-old for a 38-year-old captain for captain. I just, sometimes I wonder, Ray, does he just want playoff games, or does he really want to win a championship? In terms of what's the bottom line at Madison Square Garden, and that's a serious concern.
I'm no psychiatrist. I just play one on the radio. And let me tell you something. Here's the worst part of the whole equation, is that the Knicks are the most valuable franchise in the NBA. So despite the fact that it's a horribly run organization for the past 20 years, we went to the finals in 94 and then in 99. But other than that, you could argue that certainly after the Patrick Ewing era, we have made horrible GM, coaching, player personnel decisions. But
no.
The value of the franchise hasn't suffered. So the owner of the franchise
gets a pass.
You could argue could be making more money potentially, but isn't really suffering financially, right? He's thriving financially. So it's tough to see, because you would think in the naive world of you know, sports or the world that you grow up in as a kid, you think to yourself, okay, every owner wants to win, and I'm sure Dolan wants to win. I'm sure he doesn't not want to win, right? Every owner wants to win, but some owners
right.
are more disciplined, and some owners give player personnel control and make decisions and don't meddle in running their franchise as much as he seems to do. So what I would say is, shame on the Knick Nation and the Knick fans for not speaking up more and being more vocal about the fact that their team really hasn't been good in 15 years, you know? And
that's sort of sad, right? Because we're in the mecca of basketball and the capital of the world in New York City. So because of the love and passion, you know, you think about guys like our buddy, you know, Anthony Donahue, me, you, Edgar Burgos, you know, just all so many Knicks fans and diehards who will either go or watch really almost no matter what. And so it's almost like he gets a pass because of what's already built in, the playgrounds, the history, the mecca of New York City, and then at the same time just the fanship, you know, what they are willing – or what they will come and support and see no matter what. And that's
yep.
That's
almost
hurtful.
That's the beauty of owning the team in New York. You get the fact
hey, you
that
know
New
what?
York's a basketball town.
You want to talk about something positive? Derek Jeter got his first hit in spring training
yeah,
baseball.
For
he was 0 for 9.
Before he got his first hit. Yeah, 0 for 9 going into the game.
Yeah,
0
for 9 got his hit.
Well, he didn't get hit his first at-bat, so it was 10 at-bats before he got
yeah.
a hit. So, whatever, it's spring training. Look, I don't expect him to hit 330, but if we get 275, 280 out of him, get some leadership, score some
yeah.
runs.
Teixeira, maybe McCann and Beltran. You know, if the pitching holds up, you never know. It could wind up being, look, we need something from the Yankees or the Mets, right? We got nothing from the Jets and Giants, although a very good season from the Jets. Knicks, Nets, the Nets might, you know, win in the first round. They could very easily lose in the first round in the playoffs. Knicks might not, probably won't make the playoffs. There's a lot going on.
So did you hear about this?
I guess the pros and cons.
Yeah, yeah. So other breaking news, though, in the world of sports, I guess, just running around. The Saints look like they're going to cut Lance Moore. Johnny Manziel inks a deal with Nike, so he's going to be the highest paid player in terms of...
Did you hear there was a bidding war for him? Under Armour and New Balance, everybody wanted him.
Really? Now, is this LeBron's team involved in that or not really? LRMR?
You know, I'm not too sure. It might be. I mean, he's friends, you know, they're close, who knows. But I know he's definitely, he's got the Nike. Got the
okay.
swoosh.
Good for him. Good for him. So it
swoosh.
Looks like NFL free agency on Tuesday on the 11th.
4
we'll
o'clock.
To you.
We'll come Tuesday at 6.
We'll start when free agency starts. We'll have our pen and paper ready to talk NFL free agency. So what teams – let's talk about a couple of guys that are you know, been in the
well,
spotlight
wait, first,
for a while.
But wait! But first, you gotta don't forget to mention your boy signs with the Colts, the linebacker. DeQuell.
DeQuell
Jackson. God bless him with that name. DeQuell Jackson, very solid linebacker. You know, maybe some Colts fans want to keep Bethea or whatever. But look, the Colts definitely. You know, we're an improved team, you know, decent secondary. They needed, you know, they had Mathis with the sack. So they definitely need some more, you know, help defensively. And getting him, I think, is a good start. So now with free agency going, you know, maybe they will jump in and try to get Jonathan Martin and or Eric Decker or another receiver. So go ahead. Tell me, what were you thinking in terms of how – free agency is going to jump off. What do you think it's going to explode first?
Well,
or should it explode first?
Obviously, quarterbacks are always of utmost, you know, attention. So everybody's now talking about Michael Vick. So what do you think about Michael Vick, Vikings, Jets, somewhere else? Where does Michael Vick end up?
I don't know. It could be Cleveland. It could be. I could see the Jets or Cleveland, because I think you can. You know, Cleveland can draft a Bridgewater or a Manziel, and also bring in a Vic. You know, they're not going to keep Wheaton, and so I think you know a lot of scouts think that none of these quarterbacks are put them right in, and you know, and sort of start. So why not? You know, Vic. And unfortunately, you know, by week 8, he might get hurt or something or pull a hamstring. And then, you know, your rookie could come in. But I could see Vic going to Cleveland. Or, you know, the OC Morningwig that he worked with in Philadelphia is with the Jets. So the Jets could do that. I just think you need to get weapons for Geno. I don't think at this point Vic is better than necessarily Geno. And the Vikings, they might want to re-sign Castle. But I want to see where Josh McCown's going to go because the Bears – are probably not going to re-sign him. So that's going to be interesting. And then will the Bears release Julius Peppers? Will the Cowboys release DeMarcus Ware? You know, these big salary caps and hits, even though the salary cap has increased, $19 million to Peppers at this age?
Right. That's why those contracts are just funny money in the NFL. But look, this NFL crop of free agents is not – I don't know that we have a megastar out there, but there's some very good players, right? If you need secondary help, you got Jarius Bird, you got Aqib Talib, you got the world champions and Michael Bennett. If you need yourself a defensive end, you got Michael Johnson from the Bengals. You've got Houston from
Michael
the Raiders.
Isn't that weird to you that the Raiders don't want to re-sign Lamar Houston?
Or maybe they just can't
agree to money? Because the Browns and the Raiders have the most cap money.
He's asking for too much. I don't know. They're going to release him. They're going to release, get rid of Darren McFadden. They've got a bunch of...
They might want to re-sign Jennings, though. Would you re-sign Rashard Jennings, who showed himself to be pretty good? Ex-Jaguar, played well with the Raiders.
Yeah, he had a bounce-back year because he had his chance with the Jaguars when Maurice Jones-Drew went down, but he really didn't do anything in Jacksonville. But he did have a decent stretch of five or six games with the Raiders. Well, it's funny because what about Ben Tate to the Raiders? I mean, Ben Tate's out there, and they're saying, maybe to the Browns, the Raiders. I mean, Ben Tate's a very, very nice running back. I don't know how much money he's gonna want. He doesn't have too many miles, right?
Not too many miles on the body. That's a good one. To me, it's funny. We talked about the five backs coming out, and they all should, be, if not starters, get a lot of playing time this rookie season. But look at Chris Johnson, Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, Jennings, McFadden. There's some big-time running backs on the free agent market, and it's sort of surprising. So let me ask you this. When you look at the Jets, we talk about maybe a quarterback, but – is Chris Ivory enough, or would you go for something bigger like a Chris Johnson or MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew?
Nah, I don't think the Jets have so many other needs, especially on offense with skill position players. Look, if you can get a Chris Johnson, a big hitter when he's on, to be your split carry back with Chris Ivory, but I don't know if CJ2K is going to want that kind of money, right? He's going to want premier back money. So to me,
you're okay with Ivory and Bilal Powell for now.
Yeah, I'm okay
and get receivers
with that.
And tight ends.
I need playmakers.
Well, what about the Giants sticking in New York? You know they need linebackers, corners, running back.
And they're going to need
Giants definitely need a running back.
Yeah, they got to figure out what they're doing with the running back. I mean, I like Wilson, but he fumbles, and then Brown and Wilson. I mean, is that good enough?
They're not re-signing Brown, it doesn't look like. Yeah, well, Wilson's still, he's got to get healthy, too. So you really don't know if you can count on him when you think about
and
that as well. So
We know Collins doesn't put up with that. So,
definitely
you know
not.
What, let's make a quick transition and start talking some NBA. Because we got time on Tuesday. We'll start getting into the NFL and NFL free agency.
Yeah.
But let's talk NBA real quick. So we had the rematch of the NBA Finals. So now they split. They're 1-1, Spurs and the Heat. And this is probably a game where it was the perfect storm, right? The Heat lost. They played poorly, and the Spurs played great. So then you get yourself a 20-point loss, 24-point loss. So what'd you take out of the game? Are you one of these guys that drew some conclusions, or you think it's March and it's irrelevant?
The one thing I took from it, Duncan has, 23 and, 10? The one thing I'll say about it is they're getting healthy, and it was, one of the first times, I think, this year or the third time this year that the whole team played together. I like the Spurs. OKC is, one lost three out of their last four. Phoenix made an amazing run to beat them last night, 21-2, and Gerald Green, career high, 41, even though my man Westbrook, 36-9-9. The Spurs, what they can do is they pass and balance the court better than anybody and pass the ball. And now with D out there the whole year and Bellinelli and Kawhi Leonard and Green getting healthy again and Patty Mills being a part of it, and I wonder if, you still can sort of hit the gas enough. And, we knock Popovich, but Popovich has kept Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan fresh, that – they have the savvy. We know this from last year's playoffs, that they are going to be right there in the mix with the Rockets, the Thunder, and, you know, whoever else, you know, the Clippers. You know, those four teams are, I don't know if the Warriors, because they're so up and down, if they are one of those teams that
series.
I can count on. You know, so to me, it's Clippers, Rockets, Thunder, Spurs, which I would probably predict to be the final four in the West, and it's gonna be blow for blow. Honestly, you can tell me, you could see any of them winning it, right?
Yeah,
Rockets too many turnovers though.
Depends on matchups. It also depends on, you know, if you think about it, they're all gonna have tough first round series. So any of those four teams could make the NBA Finals, and they could also lose in the first round. So it kind of depends on who, let's say if one team gets a 4-5-game first-round series and one team gets a 7-game first-round series, they might get a little tired. You might be able to sneak a game or two in the beginning of a series. So matchups are going to make a difference as well. I mean, that Western Conference, the Western Conference champion will be beat up. And so to some degree, you know, if the East, as we predict, is just Miami and Indiana, so whoever wins that, you know, it might go seven games, but their first two series probably only go four or five.
Is that such a weighted advantage, you think, for the probably for the Pacers or Heat?
I think so because, well, it depends on who it is, right? If it's the Clippers, no big deal, they're young. But if it's the Spurs, you know, playing three, four, five extra games over that, you know, month of May – into June, you know, that adds up. Those miles add up. So I guess it depends on if you're a young team or an older team.
So real quick, this is interesting. We talked about it. I think that Phoenix has a shot. They play the Warriors coming up, I think, Friday, or if not tonight, that's Saturday. They have a shot to maybe get the sixth seed and catch Golden State. They beat them 2 out of 3 this year. And Dallas is, you know, got Memphis breathing down their throat for the eighth seed. And so let's see, you know, maybe because the Nuggets put it on Dallas the other night. But Mike Breen was saying this, and I totally disagree with this. I just want to see what you thought. But Dirk Nowitzki is on his way to being a top 10 scorer of all time in NBA history. But to me, he kept saying he's a top 10 player. And by no means, we did our top 15. Dirk Nowitzki is not in the top 10 or 15 of all-time players. Now, he's not bad, and he's probably, top 5-6 power forwards of all time. But just because someone's a great offensive player, you know, we don't say that, you know, Alex English or George Gervin or just a pure scorer is, even George Gervin, the best. And, you know, it's just how I've seen
Nowitzki.
I can't roll
with him. I think he's
close. Is he top 25? I mean, top 20, you know.
He's top, maybe he's 20 to 30, 30 to 40. He's in that range. We'd have to do it, you know.
You've got to take a hit for not playing great defense and not being a great rebounder.
Exactly. You have one championship, which kudos to him. That puts him ahead of guys like Barkley and Ewing, Malone and Stockton. Not that he's better players than they are, but obviously, that's that category of players that didn't win at all and were great. But yeah, no way. He's not top 10. He's not top 20. He may not be top 30. But that doesn't mean he's not a great player. I mean, that just means
he's amazing. Yeah.
You know, even at his position, you know, you look at the guys that are better than him. You say, okay, so you say, Tim Duncan, you say Barkley, you
Garnett.
Say Malone, you say now you could argue between him and Garnett, but let's say Garnett.
Yeah.
You could argue where does the Kevin McHale? Where does
McHale's
the, you know,
better? Yeah.
Hey, you know, Elvin. Hey, there are people that are like hybrid 4-5s. Right there, you can't be a top 15 player if you're the 5th, 6th, 7th best player at your position.
Power forward, yeah.
And that wasn't
definitely.
The best position in basketball. The best position in basketball for years was the center. So you can't put him in the same category as Hakeem, Russell, Chamberlain, Shaq. Will, I mean, you know what I mean?
Jabbar.
Kareem.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 10 guys right there. And then you didn't even add small forwards. Point guards and two guards. So no way. I mean, I don't know.
Jordan,
like,
Magic, Kobe,
like that. Yeah.
Bird,
Oscar,
LeBron, Pippen. Yeah, Oscar, it's Jerry West. It's too much. But so, okay, so with the – and just finishing off and capping the West, are you ready to give my son some props, and you ready to say that maybe Memphis overtakes Dallas and doesn't mess with the Suns? By the way, for the next, like, 18 games left in the season, 18, 19 games, Eric Bledsoe will be coming back. So that's going to be a nice little cookie for the Phoenix
yeah.
Suns.
So Phoenix looks like they are on pace to get that 6, 7, or 8 seed. Looks like the odd team out might be Dallas, between Dallas and Memphis. I thought a couple of days ago that would be Phoenix. Look, this is going to change every day, right? There's about 18, 19 games to go. So we'll see. But what a great win for them last night. Gerald Green
and the Thunder walked off the court. Didn't even shake hands, right? They just walked off. They just bounced. That was weak.
Wow.
They were kind of salty.
That was a little weird.
But let's look at the college hoops. The madness is coming. Ray and Tay will bring you tons of madness. You know, we'll be on sort of on, you know, in between the rounds, you know, previewing stuff. And, you know, it's just going to be amazing. Obviously, after Selection Sunday, we'll be on that Monday to break everything down for you. But right now, great games this weekend, the rivalries, right? Michigan, Indiana. Indiana still needs, I think, another win maybe, even though Michigan's already set up the championship and the Big Ten title. Indiana still trying to make it and probably will make it in the tournament now. I saw some teams that might be on a bubble, like Baylor got a big win the other night. but when you think about the Tar Heels against Duke, last night we talked about off-air, Sean Kilpatrick, senior night, emotional, played great. Cincinnati won. You got Louisville against Connecticut this weekend. Iowa State against Oklahoma State, who's still trying to get in. And then the big, you know, the big boys, your Gators against Kentucky. Is there one of these games that can really switch the rankings as we go into the conference tournaments next week? What are your thoughts about the end of the regular season in college hoops?
I think it's fantastic. You know, to some degree it's great because there's a lot of teams that are on the bubble and moving up a line, down a line. But to some degree, it almost doesn't matter because these teams, we talked about this a little bit off air, maybe there's two or three elite teams and there's maybe 10 teams after that that could win the tournament. So depending on how you do in the conference tournament will determine your seed. But ultimately, if you're a 3, a 4, a 5 seed, you can still do major damage in the tournament. So I'm looking forward to it all. Saturday, we talked about this. Saturday's got some great, great games, you know, some rivalry games. You know, you start with Duke, Carolina. You talk about Ohio State, Michigan. You talk about all these Ohio State, Michigan State. Sorry, you talk about all these upcoming, you know, games that'll determine seeding going into the conference tournaments. But
right.
You know, I can't wait. I
got two I want to ask you about real quick. So the Cavaliers are, you know, I talked about them last show in our segment. You're not ready, and of course, after we did it, I realized we were doing Cleveland Cavaliers and Virginia Cavaliers, and they both won that night after we focused on them. So kudos to them. But at number 5, they're going to the my Terps. Okay, March 9th, Sunday. Can Maryland find a way to maybe get an upset and beat them and then maybe, you know, do something in a tournament to make it to the NCAA tournament this year? And then Georgetown, Villanova.
So the only
thing
I can say
Georgetown,
about
I think Georgetown's
this.
In.
Yeah, maybe. You got Connecticut, Louisville. There's quite a few good Kentucky, Florida. So the only way your Terps win is if the Cavs are looking past you to the ACC tournament, right? They won the
right.
ACC regular season for the first time since 81. Maybe they're looking at the ACC tournament. They're locked in at the number one seed. So that's the only way that you guys win. Because otherwise, Virginia's fighting for a number one, probably not number one overall, but certainly a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, which would be a huge kudos to them. I think if they make it to the ACC final, for sure they're in contention. If they win the ACC tournament, of course they'll get a number one seed. So, that's a tough one. So I don't know if that's happening. So, and then Georgetown Villanova. It's interesting because Villanova is quiet is kept, an unbelievable story this year. They're 27-3, 15-2 in the Big East. Nobody's talking about them. Nobody's talking about Jay Wright.
Yeah.
As coach of the year for a 27-3 team.
Yeah,
I mean, So Villanova won the Big East regular season. They're hosting Georgetown. It's at Villanova. I like Villanova in this game. I think Villanova, maybe they're same scenario as Virginia. Maybe they're overlooking Georgetown because they've already clinched the number one seed in the Big East tournament. But I don't think so. I mean, these are old Big East rivals. These guys, I got to think Villanova takes care of business at home.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's going to be an amazing weekend. The madness is wild. We will, be previewing on Tuesday all the conference tournaments and stuff like that and, even getting you ready for, Selection Sunday. And, next week we'll be back Tuesday and Friday. Like Ray said, NFL free agency. We will be on it. It's going to be wild and starting off big, 4 o'clock Eastern, and we'll talk to you 6 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday. So have a great sports weekend. Quick hitting show. We're in and out, bob and weave, Sugar Ray Leonard style against Hagler. Ray and Terry like to give him body blows.
It's not Duran. No mas. No mas.
No mas. No mas. So great show. And watch the games. There's going to be some fun games. And the NBA, man, it's interesting to see, what's going to happen with the seeding with that. And Ray's Bobcats continue to play tough. They beat the Pacers the other night and smacked them.
Al Jefferson for president and Kemba Walker vice president.
definitely. So thanks for listening. Thanks for talking sports with friends.
We're out. Have a great weekend.
Hola, baby. ¿Cómo estás? This is Dominican Lou. And I love this sports radio. I've been listening to Reggae Nomados since like 89. Reggae Mike, SVP, and Rosulo. But I like these new guys, man, because they give me the baseball. Because, I go to the Bronx, baby. I love the Yankees. NBA, NFL, the college football, college basketball. Man, you want good sports talk? You listen to Ray and Tay today. Comprende? Escuchen. Adios.